News and views from a Not Straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast, episode 29 for November 22nd, 2023. And welcome to Not Straight Cast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Becca.
And
hey,
new podcast. Oh my goodness. And a new co-host. How are you, Becca?
I am wonderful. Things are good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So we have not done a podcast since, let's see, September 25th, 2021. It was September 17th, 2021. And it's now November. We're recording this on November 18th. And we're going to release it on the 22nd. So, yeah. So it's been almost 2 years since we've done a podcast. Or I've done a podcast.
I haven't done this in a while. It's been a while for me.
But the reason why I said we've done a podcast is that Becca and I used to do a podcast together called Sister Shout a long time ago on a network called Not Straight TV, which was basically the video podcast version of this. But in this case, I was actually, along with doing like my own two shows, I was doing other shows as well. One of them was Sister Shout, which you and your former wife. I don't know how to say that. Yeah, so she was the co-host, and well, and you were obviously the other host as well. So
yeah, technology is much better now. It was the last show we did was really good. We had Goddess and She on there.
Yeah, I was thinking about this here. Yeah, because I mean, we did that back in 2012.
Yeah,
2013 maybe.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, Patreon as a thing didn't exist yet. So because what happened, like the long story short with Not Straight TV is that I ended up combining with my competitor at the time, which I thought was bigger, which was Gay Life Television.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, there's a whole entire story with that. We'll get to in a second here. So long story short, I got there and I realized they're actually in worse shape than we are because of the crazy owner of the company there.
Mm.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I can go through all that. But
yeah, came back with a lot of drama with all that.
Yeah, and he has more drama now because, apparently sometime back in 2021, he got arrested by the U.S. government for having child porn. And apparently it's still in the discovery phase at this point here for the trial, so it hasn't happened yet there, but I guess we'll see what happens here with this. And
what a legacy to leave, you know.
That's not necessarily what you want to be, you know. You don't want to be arrested, you know. You don't want to have child porn on your computer. And the worst part of what it wasn't even gay porn. It was straight porn and bestiality. I'm like, ew.
Oh,
I'm just
my
like,
God.
ew.
Oh, that's so foul, but unsurprising at the same time.
It is really, yeah. It's a case there where it's kind of like, you know, it could not happen to a better person as far as I'm concerned. So, let's see here. So we need to catch up though with what happened between, you know, last time we did a podcast and now. That's been a fair amount. Technically it's been, you know, almost 2 years.
Yeah. Tell the folks what you've been through. It's important.
2021. Well, what shortly happened after the podcast. Okay. So this is September is when we did our last episode. At the end of the year, I went to get my muffler was acting up in my car, and I went ahead and I got it. Went to like Pep Boys and had them take a look at it there. Apparently my whole entire bottom part of my car, like from like where like the it comes out before it goes into your catalytic converter, like the pipe that comes out goes into your catalytic converter and then goes to your muffler.
I just drive them.
Well, basically, you know, it basically comes on your engine, goes through your catalytic converter, which keeps your car from being like driving down the road.
That's the thing that's always being stolen by the meth heads, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Worth so a lot of money, I hear.
So apparently the pipe to the catalytic converter and then past the catalytic converter into the muffler was rusted.
Oh, wow.
It was completely rusted. I had to replace the whole entire thing, including that catalytic converter. And it would have been about $3,000, according to them, because probably most of that is labor. Because honestly, the catalytic converter is a few hundred dollars, the muffler is a few hundred dollars, and then there's just all that labor.
Yeah.
So my car, I had a 2012, I'm sorry, no, wait, it wasn't 2012, it was 2010 Scion XB. And I was like, this is the end of 2021 at this point. So I'm like, well, let's see, I could spend $3,000, which I didn't really want to spend, going ahead there and fixing this and then driving still this 12-year-old car, which had issues, you know, with just not the muffler thing at this point. Or I could, you know, go and get another car. And so that's what I decided to do.
That car you got is snazzy.
So it's now nice. I have a 2018. This is the first time I had to buy a used car because, of course, 2021, cars were still ridiculously expensive.
Oh, yeah, and they're even worse now.
Well, it's not because of the car prices. The fact that there's not new cars, it's the interest rates are so high now.
Right.
So it's like you trade one problem for another, I guess, in that case. Because my interest rate is pretty good for a used car now at this point. But yeah, I ended up buying a 2018 Kia Soul Plus, which is, it has a nicer engine in it. And the way you can tell is that if you're driving down the road, most Kia Souls on the bottom part, when you're looking like below, like where like the bumper would be.
Okay.
Normally they're black. And that's where the license plate is as well. On a Kia Soul Plus, it's gray. Basically, it has a bigger engine. It has 160 horsepower engine instead of 135 horsepower, I think, which is what is in the original one there. My model was a 2018. It was the first year that they had Apple CarPlay.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you have Apple CarPlay in your car?
Mine is a 2012, and it's
okay, probably not.
Yeah, it doesn't have any of that. The gadgets in there. I do have a turbo button though. That's pretty fun.
Ooh, fancy. So you drive a Fiat 500, right?
I do. It's a C-Pop. It's a little zippy thing that I bought after, I don't know, about a year after I came back to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Right before the pandemic hit, I got really lucky with it at Carvana.
Yeah, you bought the car at the right time, I tell you what.
Yeah, it was weeks before the shutdown. It was literally weeks. I got a decent interest rate, and Carvana gave me a little coin to put in the machine and watch it twirl down. It was a lot of fun.
I bought it from Carvana as well, but I had them deliver it there because at that point I did not want to drive my car down there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which in this case, I guess our vending machine is in Bridgeville.
Yeah, it's out in Bridgeville. And mine was like right on the top, and it really does come out kind of like a vending machine.
Fancy dancy. But basically, yeah, they would just deliver them now at this point. And it, like, we're still at like the end of COVID, you know, COVID was still a thing there. So I'm wearing a mask and everything when I got the car and everything. I got in there, drove it. It was fine. You know, they looked at my car. They put the sticker that it's going to auction on there, put it on the flatbed and took it away. And bam, I had a newer car. You know, my car had like 130, 140,000 miles on it. This one only had 50,000 miles on it.
And yeah, it's a big difference.
With it being a Kia, it was actually 4 years old at that point. It was still under warranty. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so I still had about a year left in the warranty and everything there. So
that's nice.
Yeah, I had to get a few things fixed there. Like my my back brake sensor went out. and so I had to get that replaced there. And, you know, just normal other stuff there too, like you need new windshield wipers and stuff like that, but like that stuff was warranty stuff, like the back brake sensor.
Yeah, good. That's good.
And at the worm gear, I was trying to think of the other thing I had to get replaced. It was the worm gear, which is basically whenever you're driving a car and you hold the steering wheel,
okay,
but you know, it turns the wheels left and right, basically you have the drive shaft that goes down, you know, where you're driving, and then like the shaft that goes down to the wheels. And basically what a worm gear is, it's the thing that basically translates you turning the wheel left and right to turning the wheels.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. So basically it's like, you know, it's like obviously your wheels are perpendicular to your steering wheel. you know, in the shaft that goes down to the actual wheels.
Gotcha.
So basically the worm gear is the thing that basically you turn the wheel right, it turns your wheels, your actual physical wheels to the right. I just said to them one day, I was like, yeah, the steering is just ever so slightly loose. There was like maybe like a half inch of play in there. And they're like, yeah, let's take a look at that there. Yeah, you need a new worm gear. That's under warranty. Let's get that fixed. So you can't say they were bad about it there, but now at this point there was kind of like the only thing I was thinking of is like, I may not have had enough time here because we're getting into 2022 now. Okay. So at this point here, around March of 2022, I worked at P-Town Bar and I worked there for years. You know, I was doing it as like a part-time thing along with my full-time job. And I was the audio and visual technician there, and I ended up leaving my job there because it was just like, I don't know.
I felt working like in bars too old. Is hard. It's hard. Yeah.
And I worked there since 2015, culture. 2016. So yeah. And you know, I was working part time though, but it was just kind of like at that point I just had enough.
Yeah, I got you.
It's like older. I don't feel like I fit in anymore.
Yeah, bars aren't left. They're not my thing anymore either.
Me neither. And we'll even get to that in a little bit here as to why they're really not my thing now. So, you know, in March of 2022, I left there. Okay. I was also in school at the time, too.
June. Oh, yeah. You just finished a semester.
Well, we'll get there. Another degree. But basically, in June of 2022, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in business IT management.
That's amazing.
So I got that there. And my parents had a graduation party and everything. And
oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. I got a bracelet and stuff like that. It was very nice. It was very nice.
Never too late.
So, you know, we're done with school here. So this is June 2022, okay? So let's get to August of 2022. So at that point there, I worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I was off Wednesday, Thursday, worked Friday, and I was off Saturday. So I worked 4 10-hour shifts. And I had a really weird shift. I worked basically from 8 p.m. to 6:15 a.m. I worked 10-hour shifts. So I was working a 4x10 on the overnight shift doing tech support.
Gotcha. I see.
So I'm sitting in my home and I'm, you know, it's like 5 p.m. I just finished dinner. I'm just sitting around on my computer. I'm just, you know, just surfing around the internet, watching YouTube, whatnot. You know, just kind of getting ready for work there, just kind of chilling before work.
Looking around.
And then all of a sudden, it felt like somebody hit me in the back of my neck, in my head with a baseball bat.
Oh, gosh.
It's kind of like, you know, how you have a migraine headache.
Yeah, it's real sudden.
Yeah, that's what it felt like there, okay? And I was like, oh boy, what is this? At first, I thought I had vertigo because along with, you know, that pain in the headache and all everything, I kind of lost my equilibrium, you know? I was like stumbling around, basically. It's kind of like I was drunk. I had that happen years ago, but it was basically because I lost the hearing in my one ear completely. I went deaf in one ear.
Oh, wow.
And that gives you vertigo, basically. But that was from a virus, and that eventually resolved itself. But I didn't lose my hearing this time there, but it was just like, I felt like I had vertigo. And so that's what I thought I had. So, you know, I just wanted to lay down. I eventually, long story short, ended up calling off work. Okay. But then I got up, you know, I was thinking, you know, just rest up a little bit, see if I feel better. I got up and I threw up. Okay.
Oh man.
So at that point there, I went and cleaned myself up, went back to bed, or stumbled back to bed, I guess we could say at this point. This continued on for 3 days. Okay. So this is Sunday. We're now getting into Wednesday. And I talked to my parents and I'm like, if I'm not feeling any better by Wednesday, I want to go to the hospital.
Oh, I didn't realize it was so long until you like went.
So I went to the hospital on that Wednesday because I was not feeling any better. And my parents could notice there was something wrong with me there. It, like I said, it looked like I had vertigo, you know. I could walk, but it was kind of like, you know, it was a struggle. Well, I get to the hospital there, and as it turns out, I had a brain hemorrhage. I had a right cerebral brain hemorrhage.
That is terrifying.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I ended up in the ICU for the first week I was in the hospital. I ended up being in the hospital for a whole entire month.
Yeah, I remember that. You were in there for a long time.
Thank God for short-term disability, because otherwise it would have been a case there where I would have been completely, utterly screwed. But I mean, you know, like short-term disability gives you like 60, 70% of your salary.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's tax-free.
Oh, so, is it? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware about it. I wasn't aware of that until after it occurred and I was doing my taxes. And I realized I didn't have to pay any taxes. I wasn't, no taxes were taken out.
Okay.
Obviously during that time. But I didn't owe anything either because of the fact that I had the short-term disability. So, yeah, so I was in the hospital from basically August 10th until September 12th of last year. And I got out of the hospital there, and obviously I had stopped smoking back in 2019, 2018. I was vaping since then. And obviously in the hospital, you can't really do either. So at that point, I was completely done. So since then, I've not smoked, which is great. So I no longer smoke anymore.
That's awesome.
But there's a few other things that come along with that there, because basically, long story short, the reason why I ended up in the hospital and I had the brain hemorrhage was because my blood pressure was high. So now I'm on blood pressure medication and I'm doing other things to lower my blood pressure. I'm on a DASH diet.
What's a DASH diet?
It's a low sodium diet.
No. Oh, basically DASH, like there. Mrs. Dash. Okay.
Yeah. Mrs. Dash has no sodium, actually, if you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some, actually.
Doesn't have any salt either. Yeah. And I use that all the time. And Audie has a version of Mrs. Dash, like lemon pepper seasoning, that has no sodium either.
Oh, yeah. I've tried it. That's great.
Oh, yeah. I find all kind of other things there that don't have sodium there. But basically, when I'm trying to shop now, it's a little tough because most consumer regular diets have way entirely too much sodium in them.
Oh, too much sodium, too many chemicals, too many preservatives.
So on top of that too there, so I eat a low sodium diet, which means I pretty much stop eating red meat. So, which kind of works out okay because my parents are vegetarians.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that.
My mom became a pescatarian, which is somebody who eats seafood. So like fish, for example.
Sure.
Just to get like the protein and stuff that you need there. But she pretty much eats vegetarian 90% of the time, pescatarian 10% of the time, usually when I'm around, because since I can't eat red meat anymore there, I pretty much have become a pescatarian myself, but I also eat chicken. So there's a term for that. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But I'm not going to go and look at it right now. But yeah. It's basically my eating habits have completely changed from there. It's pretty much, I can't go out and eat anymore for the most part. If I do, I just have to be careful what I order. And it usually ends up being salmon because that's the only thing on a menu that you can order.
I wish I liked it. I do not.
Well, you eat, like, you can order other fish, you know, things as well there.
I like usually, shellfish. Shellfish is my thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can eat shellfish. You just have to watch, like, because when you go out to eat, you don't know what they're using for the seasoning. They could just be dumping salt in there, you know?
Right, right, right.
So you get real sensitive to it there. But yeah, so it's been a year since that happened now at this point. So, and thank God I recovered the way I have there, because most people who this has happened to don't end up in as good of a situation as I ended up in, because if you look at me, you can't tell.
No. And you're feeling okay now?
I mean, granted, it's like with the blood pressure medication, my blood pressure being lower, it's kind of like a state where I'm always kind of like ever so slightly lightheaded.
I get that too. I get the lightheadedness from my medicine too. And
so
floaters, you know, that's fun.
but like how most people, like my mom takes one blood pressure medication, I take five.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm only on one too.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So, and they're still adjusting it here. And it's been a year now at this point. They're still making adjustments to it and everything there. And
oh,
so,
sure. It takes a while to figure out what works, what doesn't.
It's an ongoing thing there. Yeah, it's kind of like if you look behind me here, and obviously our listeners can't see this here. I have a bunch of medications, but I guess
your apothecary.
You can see this here. I actually bought stuff on Amazon there, so containers, so I can put them all in one container then, instead of having 27 different container bottles. But I also started taking multivitamins, and I also started taking like basically Metamucil, but these are psyllium husk tablets.
Okay.
As you know, being gay, you gotta be clean down there. Gotta be regular, you know. So, you know, I made a nice recovery, thank God, because a lot of people in my situation would not have ended up, you know, like usually they end up weak on one side.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have any like physical affectations.
Well, we'll get to that in a second here, because I'm not sure whether my problems are me getting older or whether they had to do with this event that happened.
It's up in the air sometimes.
Let me get through one thing here real quick. So basically, in this case, sir, I was like, you know what? I got my bachelor's degree. I need to do my master's degree. So originally, I started in education. I was going to go for my master's in education. Learning Experience Design and Educational Technology was the name of the course I was taking. So I would have my master's degree in that. Basically, I'd be master's of education in that.
That's amazing.
Well, I got into that and I'm like, wait a second. I'm not a teacher, because I was in a Zoom meeting, they call them cohorts at the school I'm going to, which is Western Governors University. Okay. And everybody in my class is a teacher, and I'm not, you know. And they said, well, there'd be some people who are in the school of business, which is where I came from. Because I was thinking that I would do like online courses, one out there, but it's just kind of like, the more I went through this here, I'm just kind of like, I'm not feeling this. You know, I'm not interested in this. I'm not.
Yeah, teaching is a special road. You got to be built for that, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I wanted to actually teach, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of realized, I was pigeonholing myself a little bit there. So I ended up switching my major halfway, which I thought was halfway through the semester. It was actually slightly more than halfway, to marketing. So now my degree, my master's degree, will be in marketing, digital marketing to be exact. And what happened was, because I thought it was halfway through the semester, it was actually, semesters are 6 months long, as I switched it in month four. Okay. They took a month to switch the classes over. So at that point, we're in month five. So now at this point, I have 1 month to do 9 credits, which is 3 classes. So pretty much all of October.
That's a lot.
my first class was 3 papers. My second class was 2 papers and a audiovisual presentation. Basically, it was me presenting slides. And the third class was a test. And so literally all of October was a speed run to get through those courses there. So,
plus you were working full time.
I was working full time on top of it too. Cause,
you're my hero, man. Like,
oh man.
I'm so tired after work. When I first came back here, I took a couple classes, their CCAC, but man, it was a lot even. And I was only doing it 3 times, like 3 evenings a week.
Wowee. Yeah. The nice thing about online classes, you know, and especially with WGU, which is competency based, it's good if you're driven there, but it's also easy to procrastinate, you know?
Yeah.
So, because now
hard.
With this current semester
schedule.
There, I find myself already starting to procrastinate again. And it's just kind of like, oh, wait a second. I need to really get on this and do it here. So pretty much there, it's going to be like the rest of this weekend, next weekend, you know, I'm going to be getting through one class. So basically I want to get through 5 classes in 6 months, which I think is a little more reasonable than trying to get through 3 classes in 1 month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so I've been quite busy there. Well, also, too, the big question, though, I guess the elephant in the room is, what happened to Jason?
Dun-da-da-da. So yeah. What did happen to Jason?
Okay. So basically, we ended the podcast. We're thinking, oh, we'll start at the beginning of the year and everything just never happened. Okay. So in this case here, we're now in February of 2023. Okay. I'm like, I haven't talked to Jason in quite a while there. And so it's kind of like, you know, I got on the hospital. I was a few months out of the hospital and everything there. So at that point there, things are returning back to normal. You know, so I'm like, and I'm thinking of restarting the podcast at that point. You know, it's like, we haven't done this for a while. Let's sit there and let's talk and let's see if we can make something happen here. So I asked him out to dinner, you know, and literally the place I was asking him out to there was literally across the street from where he lives. Okay. So literally you walk across the street, you're there. So no big deal.
Okay.
And I'm willing to pay for it and everything there. And not, you know, it was pretty much like, hey, I'm inviting you at the dinner. So basically I asked him to choose the day that he wanted to go out to eat there. And so in this case, then he's like, let's do Friday. I'm like, cool. This is like Monday or Tuesday. I'm talking to him. So Friday comes along there and, in this case, we chose like 6 or 7 p.m. there. About 3 hours before we're supposed to have dinner, he's kind of like, hey, the day isn't happening the way I hope. I'm behind what I need to get done, and I need to be at the club earlier than 8 p.m., which is where he needed to be there. He needed to go to his job. And then tonight's going to be busy there. He's like, it's looking like today's not a good day for dinner. I'd be happy to hang out on Monday, although I don't know if the restaurant is open on Monday, which it was not, okay? We could go somewhere else or do something else. It doesn't have to be dinner. And then I said to him, I was like, hey, they're open Wednesday through Sunday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. What day is good for you? Didn't hear anything from him for a few hours. And I'm like, honestly, I'm a little frustrated because you picked the day. He picked Friday, if you remember. And then 3 hours before, he canceled. And then we went a whole entire day, never responded. And I was like, your lack of response is not helpful either. First off, I haven't seen you in months. The fact that it's scheduled over a week in advance, verified with you a few days before, only for you to cancel 3 hours before, is kind of shitty behavior on your part.
Yeah, that really is. People need to grow up. Like, just be honest with whatever it is. The people take the coward's way out and just ghost these days.
So you would think that was bad enough, okay? That happened here. So he responds back and he says, going out to dinner is a multi-hour commitment, and I can't even be quantified because there are so many variables of how long it takes to get served, how busy it is, blah, blah, blah. Feeling disappointed about my schedule is justifiable. However, I will not apologize and accept that it's shitty behavior on my part because some of the work happened. I was unable to make it. I sort of resent that implication. Okay. So basically he said, you know, he offered to hang out and do anything literally except for dinner. And he responded with more available dinner times. I'm not always in the mood to get dinner. My schedule is weird. So basically I'm like, okay, so you can't commit that there. I'm like, well, you don't treat friends like that. We were literally going out to dinner across the street from where you live for an hour since you had prior commitments. So I completely understood that part. What was not understandable, though, is that something that was supposed to be something that's simple was turned into this overcomplicated thing there.
Yeah, it was just dinner.
Also, too, he never visited me in the hospital whenever I was in the hospital for a whole entire month. Okay. And, you know, considering I considered him a friend at the time there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you haven't seen me in God knows how long there. At that point, it was like 6 months. So, yeah, I kind of have a right to be pissed off there.
Yeah, you definitely did. That's shady.
So, now, I'm not going to completely exasperate him. I was kind of like, I was pissed off and for good reason there. you know, he had stuff happen with his parents and everything there, but it was pretty much, it was kind of like, and I'm not going to go into that there because I don't want to go into his personal life there, but it was kind of like, if you can't find an hour to hang out with a friend or what you consider to be a friend, then why should I be your friend anymore? And since then, I've not talked to him.
Wow. Just like that, huh?
And so that was that. That's why Jason is no longer around. I only wish him the best, though. I mean, you know, I guess he's doing okay. So, but still, it's kind of like weird. It's kind of like going into the hospital made me realize who my friends were, and they weren't who I thought they were.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. You find out real quick when you're going through something.
And so in that case, sir, with that said there, I'm glad I left the bar because I went back there once and it was kind of like half the people had no idea, obviously, but were friends, had no idea what was happening. And the other people were like, oh my God, I haven't seen you. And God knows, how are you doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of really weird that it was like, some people knew, some people didn't. And the people I thought it would know didn't know at all. And, you know, didn't really care, you know? So it was kind of like a rude awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. You really do find out who your friends are.
Yeah. You really do. But anywho, yeah. So I've gone on long enough there. Did you have anything? Have anything going on?
not stuff that I really want to discuss with the listeners. It's kind of depressing stuff lately, so.
But hey, you know, at this point, I asked you, though, I was kind of like, you know, I went a few months after that. It was kind of like, with everything that went on, it was kind of like, why me, you know, blah, blah, blah. But eventually I came to the point where it's like, I have to restart this podcast. I was thinking of doing it alone, just doing the news thing. And it's kind of like, no, I need a co-host. You're literally the first person I asked.
I love that. I'm so flattered about that, too.
And it was like, bam. It's like, I was expecting you to say no, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
No. And I don't have a lot going on. I work, I come home, I do some art, you know, like I hang out. So this is perfect.
What's even cool is that you're now back in Pittsburgh now. So
we can actually see each other.
And we went to a coffee house, but the problem is now with, like I talked about earlier, with having to do the DASH diet, and I don't smoke anymore. Don't vape anymore. I don't drink caffeine anymore.
That's depressing.
So it was some decaf Americano for me there, because I don't think a coffee house is set up to serve decaf coffee.
Oh God, decaf. There should be that should be illegal. It's decaf coffee. What the heck?
You know what? For me though, coffee doesn't taste any different, but I realize now I don't have a stimulant. I don't have a pick me up, you know, because people drink coffee to wake themselves up. I can't do that. So, yeah.
That's depressing.
I like to taste the coffee, but I maybe drink like one cup a day now. But I realize is that, yeah, what's even more depressing than drink decaf is that you go to a store, try finding decaf on a shelf. There's maybe one or two
varieties and they're there. Nasty too.
Thank Some God for Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, their Amazon has saved my ass when it comes to this.
Yeah, I got half calf once and no, thanks.
See, to me, they don't taste any different. I mean, and technically, it still technically has caffeine in it, but it's like how like caffeinated coffee would have like 30 milligrams. This has 3 milligrams in decaf. So it's a tiny little bit of caffeine, but not enough really to,
Not enough to give you a good kick in the butt when you need it.
Exactly. But I'm certainly glad that, anyways, getting past the coffee talk, talking about going out for coffee, I'm certainly glad to have you aboard.
I'm excited. I've been geeked all day. I set up like hours ago.
Then we spent a half an hour getting your microphone to work. We couldn't get to work there. I am
technologically challenged. We know this. Remember how what we did on Sister Shout? We were on Skype.
So we used Skype in the day, and I think I bought you a audio kit there.
Yeah,
a microphone and a mixer and stuff.
Yep.
And it plugged into your USB port on your computer and stuff. And I sent it to you guys there. and you plugged it in and it was great, except the fact it was is that you had a radio station that was right by you.
Yeah, River Radio was tuning in.
Yeah, we were hearing the radio station.
I forgot about that.
It is basically the USB cable from, I guess, the unit to your computer was acting like an antenna.
Yeah.
And so the radio station was coming in loud and clear to the point I don't think we used it. I'm not sure if we did or not. But anyways, yeah. I mean, we did Sister Shot back in 2012, 2013. So
yeah, that was long time ago.
Long time ago. Thankfully, technology has improved a fair amount at that point. There, so
I still can't work it any better, but that's why I have you.
Yay. Yeah, I'm still technologically minded there, but hey, you know, I mean, even like computers and stuff nowadays are, I mean, you actually have my old computer, which I bought a new computer to replace that there. And it's kind of like, it's just amazing because the processor, I have a Mac Mini, it has an M1 chip. And the M1 chip is basically a higher version processor of what you would get in an iPhone. So basically Apple is making their own chips. They call them Apple Silicon. And they had like the A14, A15, A16, whatever it was, their chips. They put them in their iPhones, you know. But basically, the M1 chip is basically a supersized version of that chip meant to go into a computer. And they're about as fast, if not faster, than a Core i5 processor, which I think is what the laptop I gave you has. So, yeah. Because I think
I'm just happy to have one.
Apple's trying to become more vertically integrated there and everything. Yeah. And it was kind of like, and it's not like that laptop is a slouch by any means, you know?
Oh, no, it's great. I like it. I'm just not real familiar with Apple. This is my first Apple anything.
So you have an Android phone, huh?
I do. I'm not giving it up either.
Well, hey, you know, and like people are like, oh, you know, you're an Apple fanboy. And it's kind of like the reason why I use Apple stuff there is that when it comes to phones, I found I have better battery life on an iPhone than I do an Android phone. That's the only reason why.
I like Androids,
you know. You know, the reason why I have a Mac is that I grew up using a Mac. I never really used a Windows PC. I went from having a Commodore 64 to having a Mac.
I remember it wasn't my first Apple computer. Our first computer was an Apple.
But then I started doing support, and I do support on Windows PCs now. I don't mind them, you know. And, you know, they're different. And I have Windows PCs. They're like, Becky, if you look behind me here, you can see that I'm pointing at that monitor.
Yeah, I see it.
There's a computer behind it. Now, the computer is only this big, so you're not going to see the computer. But I have a server running on that computer, and it runs like my, let me put this other computer back here. Okay, it runs my TV and DVR thing, and also have a video server, kind of like Plex, but it's called Jellyfin. It's an open source. You can put like video files in there and watch them on your TV, basically. Because you can play them off your Amazon Fire Stick. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have an Apple TV. I have a Amazon Fire Stick, which is a Android device, basically. So I'm not against that, you know. I'm certainly not against Android. I mean, everything has their purpose there. And it's just kind of like, and if somebody uses a Windows PC, I don't care because, you know, hey, it works. They all do the same thing there. Just do them in different ways, as you noticed.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of getting used to, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So I think we've gone long enough here with everything that's going on with me, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk more, but
I figure
as we go on, it'll be less me talking and more, you know, actual discussion. But I'm glad you're here.
If you have something to say, you gotta say it.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and break here. And we'll be right back here with the news stories on Streetcast. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast, episode 29. And hay. We're freshly watered and peed and all good. So yeah, it was kind of funny though. It's like basically when we're doing the first part there, you didn't hear this in there, but I showed my hand to Becca and I had pen all over it there because I was holding a pen in my hand because we have a paper script of like basically the outline of the episode and everything there. And I must have been playing with the pen or something, or the pen must be leaking because I had ink all over my hands. It's just like, oh, good Lord.
At least you didn't touch your face before you noticed, you know.
Like, I look like a nightmare, you know, like Halloween, you know. It'd be good if it was Halloween.
Yeah.
And then that's your favorite holiday. But yeah, it was just like, it was bad. It was kind of like, you know, it's like you put the pen in the pocket and then the pocket gets a big ink stain on it, you know. Thankfully, it wasn't in my pocket though, so. But one of the things was with Not Straight Cast is that we did news stories that concerned the LGBTQIA+++++ community.
The Alphabet Mafia.
Yes, and we haven't stopped doing that. So let's go ahead and get into the news. So this tells you how much technology has changed. Yeah, Twitter is not known as Twitter anymore. It's now X.
X. Oh, gosh.
And now
it's a horrible place owns, there.
Yeah. It went from being something that was great to something that's god awful. And what's even more god awful is that the Trevor Project, which is a national suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for LGBTQ youth, it announced that it's leaving X because of increasing hate and virtual on the platform. Is that how you say it? Virtual?
Vitriol.
Vitriol. Thank you. Vitriol on the platform targeting the LGBTQ community. And the decision comes just over a year after billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk finalized his $44 billion purchase of the company, which honestly, I don't think is even worth $44 billion at this
point.
It's
not so. Now. He's lost half of his advertising because of the stuff he's allowed going on that platform.
I know. It's just quite awful. So the organization wrote in a tweet there that LGBTQ young people are regularly victimized at the expense of their mental health, and X's removal of certain moderation functions makes it more difficult for us to create the welcoming space for them on this platform. So the Trevor Project, which has nearly 350,000 followers on X, said that the decision to leave was made with input from dozens of internal and external perspectives in particular. We question whether leaving the platform would allow harmful narratives and rhetoric to prevail with one less voice to challenge them. But in the end, the group decided that leaving was the right thing to do.
That's such a shame, too, because that platform, you know, is a place where a lot of people got their information from, and you just can't trust it anymore.
Well, now GLAAD, you know, they use their like their scorecards and stuff. They ranked them in last place among the major social media platforms.
Wow.
So, and also too, since Musk took over running X, they've abandoned it there. Elton John announced he is leaving in December. Ellen DeGeneres, who has 75 million followers, hasn't tweeted since April. The San Francisco LGBTQ Center, the Scotland LGBTQ Youth Group, and the UK-based Mermaids, a transgender charity, have also left the platform, just to name a few. So, yeah, it's just like, it's literally turned into a cesspool at
this
point now.
It has. As soon as he took over, I deleted my account.
I still have mine, but it's more kind of like, you know, I never post on Twitter other than the Not Straight Cast account, which we post the podcast on, but that's all we do. We don't really interact with Twitter at all. I'm not sitting there trying to cause fights or even discuss things on Twitter because honestly, it's not a platform worth discussing things on.
No, it really isn't.
And honestly, social media as a whole isn't much, you know, I don't really share a whole lot on social media now. It's pretty much there. I just post memes.
Yep, that's pretty much what I do too. Anything else starts fights.
Exactly, yeah. It's like nobody gets along anymore, you know? And it's like, what the heck? It's just like, you know, I mean, I'll talk to my friends and stuff on there, but I'll talk to them in private on like Facebook Messenger, for example, or through like a text message. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't really feel the need to want to have discussions on there anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm becoming more introverted, or I just don't care.
Like for me, it's more that arguing with people on the internet just doesn't solve anything. You're not going to change anybody's mind. So you might as well just stand for what you stand for and show up at the voting booth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, like everybody that's on, like, say your Facebook page is not always your friend. You know, they might be on there just to, you know, watch you fail. And I don't see any point giving anybody any kind of ammunition. Like, my close friends know what's going on with me, and that's mm-hmm. good enough.
I was talking about before where, like, being in the hospital for a month there kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things who I thought were my friends or not my friends. And, you know, and so I had a 1,100 people on my friends list on Facebook, and I've been just slowly decreasing over a while. It's actually even started occurring before I was in the hospital, but it really accelerated after I got out of the hospital. So it was just kind of like, okay.
Well, yeah, when you go through something hard, it really shows like who's going to show up and who doesn't. And you learn that you don't have as many friends as you do acquaintances. And that's a really big, like, divide to, like, what word am I looking for? That's a, you need to differentiate. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You kind of realize who actually cares about you and who can give two shits about you, you know?
Right. Cause you know, my mom passed away a couple months ago, and, and the people that I thought would be there absolutely not were not. And the people that, you know, did show up surprised me. Like, it was a surprise that, like, people I barely know came.
We're kind of like coming out of the woodwork and like, hey, is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, exactly. And there are a couple people that I thought were my friends that still to this day have not said anything to me. They have not mentioned it. They haven't asked me how I am. Like, so I totally know what you went through with all of that.
Like, basically, I'll be honest with you there, though. When it comes to, like, death, it's something I'm not particularly comfortable with. And I think that's probably the issue a lot of people have.
Oh, yeah. You
my
don't
mom
know
and
what
I
to
were talking
say,
about this last week.
And I get that.
You just don't know what to say. Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, I could say the same thing as everybody else is saying, but I don't think that's going to be anything new, you know? Is that going to make you feel better? I don't know, you know? But it's almost kind of like, you know, you kind of need to express it's like, you know, hey, I'm here if you need anything. Just let me know, you know?
Yeah, like something simple as that or something, you know, just shoot a message, say, I'm really sorry that happened. It sucks. You know, like, just something. But
yeah,
everybody has things going on in their lives, and mm-hmm. you know,
I'm also one of those people there too. I'll be honest with you, I never met your mom. I wasn't that close to you. We were
that wasn't a pot shot or anything.
No, but I'm saying, like, personally myself there, you know, I obviously feel bad about your parents passing away. Nobody wants to have that happen, you know, to them ever, obviously. And so to have that happen is a major thing, you know. But it was also to the way that you expressed the way that you felt, because I think maybe you share a little more than I do.
I did.
That you felt a sense
of
relief because your mom was going through a lot of things.
She was. She was sick for a really long time.
And when I saw you, she was still living at that point. But
you
were talking about that, and it was a tough situation for you to be in there. And, you know, it was kind of like, it made me think about my own parents. My own parents are now in their 70s. Thankfully, they're still, you know, up and at them and everything there. And I mean, I tell you what, they really came through whenever I was in the hospital. They actually were the only folks to visit me every single day, you know, or almost every single day, you know, to take a day off or something there. But it was huge there because they lived like 30, 40 miles away from where the hospital I was at. I was, you know, I was at UPMC Mercy when I was doing my rehabilitation and everything. So they were coming down, you know, visiting me and everything there. And it was nice, you know. It's something I look forward to. And, you know, my mom also washed my clothes because at that point there I could wear a I didn't have to wear the hospital gown anymore. But I tell you what there, yeah, it's just, it was real nice, you know, having them there. And I tell you what, that really cemented my relationship with my mom and my stepfather.
That's really, really amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I was talking to them now that I'm out of the hospital, I've been out of the hospital for God knows how long now, a year and a half, that, you know, what was that experience like driving down there all the time? And it's like, you know, thankfully, you know, he used to teach down there, my stepfather, so it wasn't that bad, you know. So he knew his way around that area there because it was right by the school where he used to teach at or work at. And so it could have been a lot worse, especially if they weren't that familiar with the area. Because it's pretty busy of an area, you know, to be at there. That's like around Duquesne University.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, it is busy over there.
And it's Boulevard of the Allies there, and it's a pretty busy street, you know. But anyways, I forget the point that we're trying to get across with this here. But
we kind of went off topic.
Yeah, we kind of went on a tangent.
We did.
So I tell you here, why don't we get on to your story next?
Okay. So whether or not people have heard about this or not, there's something that is called Project 2025, and it's also called the Conservative Promise, and it's written by an extremist right-wing think tank called the Heritage Foundation. It's a 920-page, I believe, extremist manifesto. It's intended to be implemented on day one of any Republican presidency going forward. And this has been something that's been in the works since the 1970s. So this is something that's been well thought out, and it's terrifying. In a nutshell, it'll take us from democracy to Gilead in a year's time.
Now, what's Gilead? What is that?
For those not familiar with that, it's from A Handmaid's Tale. And in that show, the right-wing, very religious, the evangelicals attacked the American government, took it over, and it turned it into a right-wing fascist theocracy.
And basically that's what Trump is starting to want to do whenever he gets in the office.
He started talking about it a little bit, and especially recently in his, you know, his, I don't even want to call them rallies because they're more of a call to arms to the most stupid.
What do you call
us.
Those things that Hitler would have there, you know, where like everybody's like, you know, putting up their arms and everything there?
No, oh, yeah, that's
rallies, yeah.
Yeah, the rallies. but per the Heritage Foundation's website, their mission statement is Heritage's mission is to formulate and promote public policies based on the principles of free enterprise, limited government, individual freedoms and tradition American values, and a strong national defense.
Isn't that just a dog whistle for like straight white Christian families?
It is. Okay. It's a white supremacy dog whistle.
Yeah.
And they use it a lot in this document. And according to a Metro Weekly article, the right-wing extremist Project 2025 political agenda seeks to eradicate all LGBTQ protections by erasing any mention of sexual orientation or gender identity from existing federal laws. Yeah, because, you know, even when the Holocaust, it was the minorities and gay people that they went after first. They're going to remove it from any agency rules or regulation, as well as any mentions of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI initiatives, gender equality, gender equity, reproductive rights, and any other term intended to deprive Americans of their First Amendment rights. The promise also equates the LGBTQ community to pornography and makes gender-affirming care punishable by imprisonment. Per LGBTQ Nation, conflating LGBTQ plus identity with pornography is a well-worn tactic among the far right and the source of slurs like groomer and pedophile and accusations around the sexualization of children. The past years have seen a dramatic increase in efforts to ban books featuring LGBTQ plus characters or themes, which conservative advocates of the so-called parental rights movement have characterized as pornographic. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. And this is only just a piece of it. It goes on to repeatedly mention, you know, residential schools for children who can't afford to go to the private institutions. Like, that's what they're basically talking about is kids will have to, in order to be able to attend the schools, they're going to have to work. So, you know, we've seen
like they're literally sending us back to like the 1800s. Like,
they are, like literally, they like, are,
you know. Like, people are, it's going to be fine owning slaves again, basically.
Yeah, they want to erase the civil rights movement. They want to go back to the time before the civil rights movement. And the nearly 1,000-page document is filled with inflammatory language. It uses dehumanizing language and equates the LGBTQ people with ideological views using isms and a very us versus them ideology. It's dangerous. And on every page... So. You'll find language such as radical left, liberal agenda, and talking about society being in great peril. And it's a fear manual intended to scare people into voting against their own best interests.
It sounds like hell on earth. And I don't know what happened here. I mean, this kind of just aligns with the whole entire conservative, you know, the conservative movement has become very far to one side now, you know.
Well, I think that we're seeing this because, well, straight white America collectively lost their minds when we duly elected a black man to the most powerful, you know, position in the world. They couldn't stand that they were no longer staying in their place, so to speak. And
which is what Donald, I think led to Trump. Yeah.
Trump was the result of that, the complete polar opposite. And, you know, Trump.
It's like we went from one extreme to the other extreme. Then we went back to Joe Biden, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is not quite an extreme, you know, but still, you know, the conservatives do not like him, you know?
No, no.
They're trying to get him impeached, but they can't come up with anything on him. So, we're talking about Hunter Biden and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? After they threw out Kevin McCarthy as the speaker and elected this a new guy, Mike Johnson, he still wouldn't impeach him, and that's what they threw McCarthy out for.
They threw McCarthy for working. They threw Kevin McCarthy out for working with Democrats.
With the Democrats, and that's exactly what Mike Johnson just did with this new budget proposal.
How the hell do you think you're going to pass any bills without having if you have such a slim like a majority in the House, you need Democrats' help.
Yeah.
And if you're working with Democrats, you need to compromise. And
this has been the most useless government since the Depression. Like Herbert Hoover was in office the last time the government did so little. They have passed 21 bills this year. 21. That is it. All year.
Do you know how they know, like how much they normally pass? I don't know offhand, but it has probably to be in the hundreds.
Yeah, it's in the hundreds, sometimes thousands. There are all kinds of little bills that go in and out of Congress every single day. But the whole entire Republican Party is fighting amongst themselves. You have the, you know, I guess what you would call the normal Republicans, and then you have the MAGA people, and it's completely decimated the party.
And the sad part is that probably in the next election, they're going to do better than they deserve to. They should not be voted back in just due to that.
No.
If this was a normal functioning Republican Party.
Right. And Roe v. Wade was a big misstep on their part because people across the board are unhappy with that. It's a small percentage of people that are really supportive of that. And unfortunately, they're the loudest. So
and the problem is that it's, you know, it's kind of like, open up Pandora's box again, basically. Now this is what we're going to get, you know.
Right, right.
Because of that. You know,
Pandora's get to the polls, man.
Talk about Pandora's box being opened in Florida. They got it opened up there.
The next sure story is Florida's that a mess.
Juan DeSantis. Oh, God.
God, he's Satan himself.
This whole entire don't say gay stuff. Yeah. Apparently, a physics teacher in Florida at a Florida virtual school was fired last month for using a gender-neutral title in class. The school said that the title violated a section of Florida law signed in May, an expansion to what critics call the Don't Say Gay law. So A.V. Very, who uses they and them pronouns, discovered that they were non-binary. So they started using the gender-neutral title. And how do you say that? It's mix?
I think MX. It's mix. Yeah, I think it's mix.
MX, period, as opposed to Mrs. I talked to my principal about it at first. I let him know that I was doing it, and he didn't say anything at first. And then after about a month later, he told me he needed me to change it. He asked, very asked to use other gender-neutral titles. I was told that professor was not okay. Doctor was not okay because I didn't have a PhD. But there's lots of people at the Florida Virtual School District who do use doctor, which coincidentally is also in violation of the same law I got disciplined for. But very refused to use Mrs., a title they feel didn't fit. So after a long back and forth with HR, he got fired.
Of course he did.
And of course, nobody complained about it. No teachers, no students. And of course, Florida has one of the worst teacher shortages in the country. So after he got suspended, you know, got fired and whatnot, the students were divided into already overburdened classes. He's currently meeting with the activist group to take on their case. They filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But apparently, the Florida Virtual School District spokesperson said that FLVS is obligated to follow Florida laws and regulations pertaining to public education. So, talk about a completely screwed up situation. You know, it's like you can't come to some compromise.
No, and that's all Ron DeSantis has been focusing on is all this stuff. And he's made a complete mess of that state. People are fleeing in droves. And it's not just people that are part of the LGBTQ community. It's, you know, parents and relatives and women, you know, are fleeing.
Especially
the state.
Women, yeah.
Yeah, because like in states that like Florida, they have no women, like doctors for women's health care. Like they're all leaving the state because they don't want to have to deal with any of it anymore. So he's completely destroying the economy down there. Like all the insurance companies are leaving. And
he got in a big fight with Disney.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other
thing. Yeah, I mean, we could go on for hours and hours about this here. And it's just like, it's just maddening. It's basically the best way you can put it there. And it's just kind of like, it makes you just sit there and scratch your head and be like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah. It's surreal almost. Like, it's like, are we really seeing this? These people like DeSantis and like Trump who are literally regurgitating words of Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we don't even want to think about that. You know,
like Trump got on stage with this past week and called us all vermin. Like he used the word that we're going to root out the communists that are living in this country, like vermin, right.
I'm
left
shocked
wing
that
extremists.
There's 90 charges against them, 90 separate charges against them in 4 different jurisdictions, I think, if not
more.
Yeah,
it's still allowed to run for president. I don't
number one
understand
and number two
it.
Has the amount of support that he has.
God, it's baffling. I don't understand.
Yeah, and then we have people like Howard Dean, you know, who's getting, you know, canceled because of a scream. Remember that?
The scream?
Remember he's like, ah!
Oh!
You know, and he got canceled because
yeah!
he did that during a rally
one
time?
Yeah, I remember he's that. Like, he got all excited and never heard from him again.
I mean, it was stupid, but it was not canceling, you know. It was not cancel-worthy at the time, so, and still not.
Well, I mean, Bill Clinton, like, got impeached over a BJ, so it's, times have changed.
Yet, you know, I mean, grab him by the pussy, yet, you know, he still gets elected, you know?
Oh, yeah, people are cheering about that. It's, I just vote. That's all I can do.
I didn't have a $60 windscreen in front of my microphone, I would be banging my head off the microphone at this point. You know, like, come on, people.
Let's not do that.
But anyways, there.
You've already had enough problems with your noggin. We don't need you to do that.
I'm just happy things are a lot better than they were. That's all I'm glad things are okay now. Let's put it that way. And I plan on keeping them okay.
Good. And speaking of voting, as we saw in the most recent local elections in November 2023, Republican policies are not popular ones. Duh. And they are and they are aware that the country is moving further away from their staunch and awful hateful conservative ideals towards a more inclusive and progressive society. Gen Z is leading the charge in this. These kids are so well informed.
And well, we're all just old now, you know.
Oh, yeah. sorry, but I didn't mean for that to get on, you know.
No, it wasn't you.
Just clearing that up for the people at home.
Yeah. Here, I'll play it again. That was me. But it wasn't from me. It was
an
audio track we have on here.
It's our inner 12-year-old boys.
It's literally called Farting Around is the name of the song. That's old farts. Yeah. Thank God, Gen Z.
Yeah. Because
thank God Gen Z is leading the charge there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They are well informed. They know how to read between the lines, and they see through all the crap. They see through the propaganda. They see through it all. And because of Gen Z, like, we are now seeing the death rattle of conservative ideology, which brings along with it an extinction burst. And that's what we've been seeing with the Don't Say Gay bills and the abortion bans and the anti-trans laws that have been written almost entirely by hate groups disguised as family values or other right-wing dog whistles.
Yeah. I mean, especially Ohio, like in Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, Ohio is interesting if you've been paying attention to what's going on up there. Republicans, they had fought tooth and nail to keep the abortion initiative off the ballot, which is something the people wanted. Mm-hmm. And the good people of the state of Ohio fought back and the vote remained. Ohio has followed such states as Tennessee, Kentucky, Iowa, Alabama, and Mississippi down the rabbit hole of bigotry and right-wing extremism. Ohio Republicans, hoping to thwart the vote, phrased the ballot initiative in such a way that they thought people would vote no on the initiative. This plan was foiled spectacularly as the people of Ohio came to overwhelmingly support a yes on women's health care and enshrining it into the state constitution. And this was all just too much for some Ohio Republicans. Conservatives hold wide majorities in both chambers of the Ohio General Assembly. The state's governor is a Republican, and the 7th-seat Ohio Supreme Court has a 4-3 Republican majority. They are all on the same page regarding most issues, which means if they want to get something done, they absolutely can do that. But four Republican representatives are now discussing whether or not to take power away from the Ohio judiciary to prevent them from enshrining abortion health care as right into the state constitution and taking power away from the voters of Ohio.
Of course,
this is fascism. Like, it's like I was talking about with Project 2022. It would erase the constitution. It would erase states' rights. It would erase all of it.
Well, you guys passed the law. We don't like, we're just not going to write the law anymore.
Yeah. And that's how, like, a lot of these Republicans are operating. And I forget whether it was like Tennessee or Kentucky, they were ordered by the Supreme Court to redraw the district because it was very, very gerrymandered in their favor. Mm-hmm. And it excluded a lot of black voters and, you know, other minorities, and it was done on purpose, and they just ignored the order. We're not gonna do that.
Like, nah. Let's not worry about it. It's kind of like the whole entire, like, you know, a lot of people were complaining about, like, because we recently went through like daylight savings time or we on regular time, I don't know, but basically they were, I guess they had voted last year to eliminate it, and it's kind of like, why are we dealing with it getting dark at 5 p.m now?
Yeah.
Why are we even dealing with that anymore?
And that went through like real quick. Meanwhile, we can't get a budget passed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's important. Daylight savings time.
That is right. Everything that's not important gets passed immediately and gets implemented, you know, two minutes after it's passed.
Yep. And, you know, going to help the people. No, no, we are not going to help the people.
But we actually need things done, like the right to choose whether you have an abortion or not. Nah.
Well, the Ohio voters on Tuesday, November 7th, 2023, passed issue one by a margin of 56.6% to 43.4%, marking the first time a Republican-led state has affirmatively guaranteed the right to abortion in its state constitution. The approval of the measure extended the winning streak by abortion rights proponents after they were victorious in all six states where abortion-related measures were directly on the ballot last year. Like, the people are—they're not having it.
I think one of the states that you mentioned was Kentucky. I think they put, you know, choice into their constitution now or something like that.
I think basically, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, but basically, like any state, I think where they've tried to enshrine, you know,
anti-abortion
rights has failed.
Yeah, it has, because 70% or more, I believe I read, that of the country wants to have that.
It's kind of like the whole entire go to the argument. It's kind of like, you know, just because you have the choice of an abortion doesn't mean you're going to have an abortion.
Most
people who've had abortions consider it to be a good thing that they did.
It's
a major life changing thing there, you know.
It is, and the Republicans love to sling this garbage around about, you know, people will be having abortions right up until the time of birth. No one has ever done that unless it was like a life or death situation. Like, it just doesn't happen. Less than 1% of abortions happen after 20 weeks. Most of them, they happen within the first 13 weeks.
But then the baby is born. It's like, fuck the baby after that, you know?
It's like what George Carlin said. He said, if you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're fucked. And I love Carlin. I miss him.
You know, we've seen enough cartoons with that are like, kind of like, you know, it's like, what about, you know, adoption services and stuff like that? You know, why is there a lot more attention being put on this as opposed to being put on the things that matter after the baby's actually born, you know?
Yeah. Pro-life. They are forced birth.
No, it's just a issue they can hang their head on and be like, hey, I'm a Christian, you know?
Oh yeah. And it's a completely non-committal thing to be too.
Pro-life Christian. Yeah.
Because they don't have to actually do anything. They just have to manufacture this outrage, and then they can go to church and feel good about themselves, you know, and it's, they don't actually have to do anything.
Do nothing. Yeah. That's basically like the summary of it all.
Yeah.
Congress isn't doing anything because nobody can get along. You know, it's kind of like, there needs to be a lot more bipartisanship, you know,
there does.
We're not seeing it all here.
No, and until this whole MAGA thing dies, which I think that a lot of the Republicans are getting sick of smelling their own shit at this point.
Right?
That was a good one, yeah. I think we'll 2024 is going to be a defining time in history, because it's going to be the difference of whether we fall into fascism or if, you know, democracy rules, you know, hopefully.
Well, we never thought he would be elected, but, you know.
Yeah, elected.
So never say never, you know.
Yeah, that's, use that term loosely. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But anyways, I think we've come to the moment that we've all been waiting for here. Something a little more lighthearted. It's the Monster Cast moment of conclusion. So today's story involves nudity creep.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, like, you watch Cinemax and HBO and stuff. I mean, you know, Cinemax, you know.
Yeah.
Skinamax, you know.
Skinamax. Like,
yeah, they used to play all their nudie movies at night and everything.
Is that even a thing anymore? I used to sneak out of bed in the middle of the night to watch Cinemax when I was a kid.
Well, I'm not sure cable's much of anything anymore, but, you know, but it's kind of funny. I'd have to kind of take a little bit of a tangent here and say, it'll be funny when all these streaming services, which is now the big thing nowadays, like Netflix and, you know,
yeah, Max, I don't even have cable. HBO I Max have Roku
or Hulu and stuff like that. They all combine in the one big service called cable.
Yeah, it's just going to revert.
Yeah, it's going to go back, you know. But yeah, one of the most popular shows on one of the most popular streaming services is called Naked Attraction. It's a fully, completely naked dating show. And it's on HBO Max, or now just called Max. The British show, which Max acquired from Channel 4 over in the UK, does not blur or censor anything. In fact, there's actually close-ups. So anyways, here's the gimmick. One contestant faces six boxes that contain six naked people. Bit by bit, their bodies are revealed, starting from the bottom. The contestant eliminates the possible future dating partners based on the body parts that they see. So they're showing full, like, they're showing full male frontal nudity. And that's maybe what's catching a few breasts, says Jeffrey Jones. He's a professor at the University of Georgia. He authored a book about the history of HBO. He's also the executive director of the Peabody Awards, which you've heard of. They award excellence in media.
Oh, yeah.
He's too polite to say so, but it seems unlikely Naked Attraction will win. This is, after all, a dating show based on people accessing other people's junk.
Oh, God, where have we come in this world?
But if you were outraged at HBO, the home of such prestigious dramas such as The Sopranos and The Wire, has stooped so low, Jones would like to remind you that starting in the 1990s, HBO aired programs such as Real Sex and Taxi Cab Confessions.
I loved Real Sex.
And then we get into... So yeah, they've been doing it for a while, but you know, with naked women's bodies. You know, we also had Skinamax or Cinemax, you know, for airing uncensored movies starting in the 1980s. You know, so pretty much there, it's kind of like there, we're kind of expecting that there, but it's also one of those situations there where too, where, you know, fine, it was fine for the naked women, but the naked men were kind of like a no-no, you know?
Yeah, it always kind of has been like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like they've always centered around the female flesh, you know?
Yeah, and if you wind up seeing a pee-pee in a movie, it's like, it was really exciting.
Oh my goodness. So Netflix show called Sex/Life allegedly pulled more than 20 million viewers in 2021 because of just one graphic scene of male nudity. So people gleefully skip to that scene and record themselves watching it as a viral challenge on TikTok.
Of course they did.
Like, look at me with this penis. So this is marketing that happens with the HBO or Netflix marketing departments, Jones observes. And that's critical, he points out, given the immense competition for eyeballs and subscribers. But if nudity is a gimmick that gets them, what happens when nudity gets old? But of course, then he went on to say that people will never get sick of nudity. It's on frescoes all through Europe. Nudity is with us forever. Frankly, it's a central part of who and what we are as humans. And we're all going to tell stories about it. It was only a matter of time. I'm surprised it took so long to get there.
You know, you're probably right about that. I mean, they've been kind of pushing the gamut for a while now. So it's just a matter of time before something like this was going to come into play.
It's been female nudity for a long time, you know, on like Skinamax, you know?
It has like full frontal, all of it. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And now it's kind of like, oh, we have a male penis. That's something new.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are outraged about something like that because that there is, you know, some misogyny that is at play in stuff like that. Like a woman's body is, you know.
I think what it is nowadays, though, is that you're seeing less of it because, I mean, you could argue misogyny has been going on for a long time. The fact that, you know, female nudity was a thing, but male nudity wasn't. And now it's probably become a little more equal.
So, well, people are starting to, we as Americans live in this like hypocritical, like puritanical kind of false morality that, but I think we're starting to get away from that and you know, people are just starting to accept more things, especially like we were saying earlier with the younger generations. Like, they are way more open-minded than we ever were. They have more knowledge than we ever had. Like, TikTok has been really instrumental in, like, showing the different cultures and different lifestyles. And you know, these kids are growing up with that. And I think that makes a big difference, you know, for humanity in the grand scheme of things for the future.
Then there's us Gen Xers. Right?
Still making fart jokes. Uh-huh. And,
exactly.
You know.
But anyways, yeah. So this has been quite a show. I tell you what, and I'm glad we've made it to the end. So
it was a rough start.
Yes.
Subscribe to us where all great podcasts are sold. Also, check out notstraightcast.com, which has links to our previous shows, our Facebook, Reddit, and Twitter pages, or X, the notstraights.store, and more.
And if you like us, please suggest us to a friend and leave a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app. We want to thank you very much for listening to our show. And until next time, have a not straight one. Bye for now.